Tonight, face-to-face inside the Oval Office, Obama and Trump, bitter political foes, meet for the first time. The president who accused Trump of being unfit to serve and Trump who accused Obama of being an illegitimate president. What they said behind closed doors as anti-Trump protests erupt around the country. Also, where Hillary Clinton was spotted today, smiling after that devastating defeat. Plus, NBC News exclusive, we have the names of the people President-elect Trump wants to have access to America's top secrets. Some surprises and some controversial. Officers ambushed while responding to an emergency. A gunman opens fire. And the app trap. Just in time for the holiday shopping rush, crooks and thieves are infiltrating the App Store. Tonight, buyer beware. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. No meeting was more anticipated or potentially more awkward. Barack Obama and Donald Trump, president and president-elect, coming face-to-face today inside the most powerful office in the world. Their Oval Office chat, a first-time meeting between the men whose contempt for each other is well-known. Trump, a long denier of the president's American birth, and Obama, who has called Trump unfit to be president. Yet what the world saw today was cordial and hopeful.
Well, I just had the opportunity to have an excellent conversation with President-elect Trump. We talked about foreign policy. We talked about domestic policy. And I believe that it is important for all of us, regardless of party and regardless of political preferences, to now come together, work together, to deal with the many challenges that we face. And most of all, I want to emphasize to you, Mr. President-elect, that we now are going to want to do everything we can to help you succeed, because if you succeed, then the country succeeds. Please.
Well, thank you very much, President Obama. This was a meeting that was going to last for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and we were just going to get to know each other. We had never met each other. I have great respect. The meeting lasted for almost an hour and a half, and it could have, as far as I'm concerned, it could have gone on for a lot longer. We discussed a lot of different situations, some wonderful and some difficulties. I very much look forward to dealing with the president in the future, including counsel. He explained some of the difficulties, some of the high-flying assets, and some of the really great things that have been achieved. So, Mr. President, it was a great honor being with you, and I look forward to being with you many, many more times in the future. Thank you, sir.
The still cameras clicking away, capturing that moment. That wasn't the only highly anticipated meeting in Washington where Mr. Trump today. NBC's Hallie Jackson has details.
Donald Trump at the White House today, trying to rebuild the bridges he burned on his way there.
Obama is an incompetent.
The most ignorant president in our history. He has been a disaster.
Today, a different tone.
Very good man.
This scene in the Oval Office, unimaginable to those who never thought President-elect Trump had a chance, including President Obama.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president.
That was just the beginning of the president's fight against candidate Trump, a bitter battle that began years ago with Trump's birther crusade against Obama, something that did not come up in today's 90-minute meeting.
It sounds like the meeting might have been at least a little less awkward than some might have expected.
Trump, joined by wife Melania, who toured the East Wing with the First Lady, and by Jared Kushner, his son-in-law and one of his closest advisors, walking the South Lawn with President Obama's chief of staff, Dennis McDonough. The president-elect planning to seek his predecessor's advice. President Obama sharing some.
Don't answer the questions when they just start.
It's always the last one.
But Trump couldn't resist talking with reporters at his second stop on Capitol Hill. Trump walking the halls of Congress with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and getting a look at where he'll be sworn in from House Speaker Paul Ryan, their relationship strained from the start when Ryan initially refused to endorse Trump and later declined to defend him. The two now prioritizing tax reform and the fight against the health care law, popular proposals to unite the party as even former rivals get on board.
If they have an interest in sitting and talking to me, I'll be glad to do it. He's the president. If Hillary had won, I'd be talking to Hillary.
Much of today's meeting between President Obama and President-elect Trump revolved around staffing up and organizing an administration, unfamiliar territory for someone who's never been a politician and whose staff at times seemed almost like tourists, Lester, snapping pictures on their phones here at the White House.
All right, Hallie Jackson, thank you. In meantime, from D.C. to New York, the jockeying is well underway for high-level positions in the Trump administration. And after repeatedly promising to, quote, drain the swamp, the names popping up for cabinet posts aren't exactly outsiders. Plus, NBC News is learning exclusive details about who the president-elect wants to know America's top secrets. We have it all covered, starting with NBC's Katie Turr, who joins us here in the studio. Katie?
Hi there, Lester. Donald Trump is only starting to look at who would staff his new administration. The Trump team scrambling to whittle down names. So far, finding Washington is a lot friendlier to a President Trump than they were to the GOP nominee.
Thank you, everybody.
Who will Donald Trump surround himself with? After all, he's promised the biggest and the best on the campaign trail.
We have to have smart people. I have the smartest people.
NBC News has learned from campaign sources the Trump transition team has not yet presented the president-elect with any names for top posts. But his team has a working list of 3 to 5 names for each cabinet position.
It's up to Donald Trump and Mike Pence now to sit down and figure out people who not only helped on the campaign but can help change America.
While there's no word on exactly who is on the short list, there are not so quiet whispers about some high-profile Trump supporters. Most Washington insiders. Retired General Mike Flynn for National Security Advisor. Texas Congressman Michael McCaul for Homeland Security. Reince Priebus, Chief of Staff. Or potentially Chris Christie.
Would you want to be chief of staff? Would you want to be attorney
general?
You don't
really general? Think I could.
That's what is called a pregnant pause.
Rudy Giuliani not as coy about his interest in attorney general.
I certainly have the energy, and there's probably nobody that knows the Justice Department better than me.
And tonight, NBC News has learned from sources with knowledge of the decision. Mike Rogers, former chair of the House Intelligence Committee, is being considered for CIA director. Position, Rogers' office issuing a no comment tonight. There is a lot of work to do. Team Trump needs to fill 4,000 positions, 1,000 of which need Senate confirmation.
Donald Trump would make a mistake if he appoints too many insiders to two positions. He won as an outsider, and he needs to reinforce that which delivered victory for him.
And those senior aides to VP-elect Mike Pence hope to keep the outsider campaign and outsider administration. As of now, many signs point to much of the same. Katie Turr, NBC News, New York.
This is Cynthia McFadden in New York. Tonight, NBC News can exclusively report Donald Trump's transition team has asked that nearly 30 people be granted the nation's highest security clearances. In a secure room inside 1717 Pennsylvania Avenue, they will review the most sensitive details of America's nuclear war plans, the classified details of Russia's role in the election, as well as the $80 billion official intelligence budget and the nooks and crannies of American covert operations. 4 people have already been given access: Rudy Giuliani, Chris Christie, Newt Gingrich, and Mike Rogers. The new list is dominated by politicians and Washington insiders, which will comfort some and may alarm others. We asked Admiral James Stavridis, a former commander of NATO, about those on the list.
This is a very eclectic group of folks, many of whom have reasonable national security credentials. Collectively, they're going to come at international affairs with a bias toward hard power as opposed to soft power.
The list includes 3 members or former members of Congress: Sessions, Hunter, Walker; 3 retired Army generals: Kellogg, he's heading up the Defense Transition Team; Flynn, and Burgess; and 2 prominent Bush administration officials, John Bolton and Stephen Hadley, who tells NBC News he is not participating in the transition at this point.
National security has to be job one, because instantly on January 20th, he will be tested. He'll be tested by the Russians in the cyber world. We will see test after test, and they will come fast and furious in the new year.
As of today, President-elect Trump is getting vastly more detailed intelligence briefings, and he will be asked to stop using his personal cell phone for security reasons, as Barack Obama did. But that decision is ultimately up to him, Lester.
Cynthia McFadden, thank you. The election of Donald Trump has unleashed a backlash in some cities across the country. Protesters taking to the streets, including late today in Philadelphia. People angry and fearful and with a message. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has more.
This is what police departments are facing tonight in several cities. From coast to coast, thousands of mostly peaceful but angry protesters condemning the president-elect.
I want to show that he does not speak for me as an American.
The largest demonstrations are taking place in the biggest cities, outside Trump Tower in New York, where the president-elect lives, and shutting down Chicago's Michigan Avenue. In D.C., at American University, students burned the American flag. In L.A., effigies of Trump beaten and torched.
His ignorance and his prejudice, his racism, it's all going to interfere with how he thinks.
Outrage being voiced across the country. Rallies erupting in Kansas City, Austin, and Nashville, in red states where Trump won big.
This has an awful, awful message about this country.
But here in the Rust Belt city of Lorain, Ohio, Trump supporters say they're frustrated too.
The working class people who this country rides on had enough.
With protests fueled by social media, police are prepared for trouble in Oakland, where 7,000 gathered, setting 40 fires and hurling firebombs at officers. Tonight, the divisive election is over. On the streets of this fractured nation, no sign of moving on.
This busy stretch of freeway Highway 101, which runs through the heart of Los Angeles, was blocked by protesters last night. Earlier today, more freeways in this area were shut down. And at this very hour in several major cities, demonstrators are taking to the streets. Lester.
All right, Miguel Almaguer in Los Angeles, thank you. On the global stage, there are many questions about what impact President-elect Trump will have once he takes office. Right away, he will be confronted with a number of difficult foreign policy decisions. And around the world, he's being received with a mix of anticipation and anxiety. Let's get more from NBC's Richard Engel.
President-elect Donald Trump is already reaching out to world leaders, including the Prime Minister of Britain, who said Trump reaffirmed the allies' special relationship. But tonight, so many questions about what the incoming commander-in-chief will do on the global stage. On the fight against ISIS, he'll immediately be a president at war. A top U.S. commander told NBC News U.S.-backed Iraqi troops have only reached the outskirts of Mosul, Iraq, where ISIS fighters are putting up resistance so fierce that some at the Pentagon are calling it Stalingrad. So far, Trump only providing simple solutions.
I'd blow up every single inch. There would be nothing left.
Then there's Iran. Trump promised to tear up the nuclear deal the Obama administration worked so hard to negotiate.
To dismantle the disastrous deal with Iran.
But it's a six-party agreement, also with Europe, China, and Russia, who are unlikely to agree to follow Trump's lead. And finally, Israel.
My friend, congratulations on being elected President of the United States of America.
Trump made some big promises to Jewish audiences before the elections.
We will move the American embassy to the eternal capital of the Jewish people, Jerusalem.
But if he keeps that promise, Palestinians, who also consider Jerusalem to be their capital, could reignite violence in that powder keg of a city.
Overseas, there is more than just skepticism about Mr. Trump. Just yesterday, a German newspaper said that Election Day was worse for America than 9/11. This is the kind of perception problem in some parts of the world that Mr. Trump is going to have to try and overcome.
All right, Richard Engel, thank you. We also want to show you this photo. It's Hillary Clinton after that devastating defeat, spotted out on a hike today, seeking some peace and quiet with Bill Clinton near their home in Chappaqua, New York. A woman out for a hike with her kid says she bumped into the former first couple unexpectedly while they were walking their dogs. Hillary Clinton smiling for a photo, and Bill Clinton behind the camera Separately, a Clinton aide tells NBC News that Bill Clinton called President-elect Trump this afternoon to congratulate him and wish him well. Turning from politics now to Pennsylvania, where a gunman has ambushed police, killing one officer and injuring another. Police were responding to a domestic disturbance call when they came under fire. Officers forced their way into the home and found the shooter dead from a self-inflicted gunshot, and a pregnant woman, believed to be his wife, also dead at the scene. Still ahead here tonight, a consumer warning as the holiday shopping season heats up, what you need to know before downloading any more shopping apps on your smartphone or tablet. Also, the question that might spark a lot of arguments at the dinner table, who has the better memory, men or women? We're back now with a consumer warning to anyone with a cell phone or tablet who downloads apps to shop online. Cybersecurity experts say there's been a sudden explosion of fake apps showing up in app stores designed by scammers hoping to steal your credit card or personal information. But how can you tell if an app is real or fake? Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
Just in time for holiday shopping, scammers are suddenly infiltrating the app store, posing as legitimate retailers to lure unsuspecting victims into giving up their credit card and personal information. It may appear to be a real app from Dillard's, Puma, Payless, or Pandora, but those are just a few of the companies that have already been targeted.
There's been more fake apps launching in the market than ever before.
Chris Mason runs his own legitimate app development company in Pittsburgh.
This is a fake app for the retailer Finish Line.
How do we know it's fake?
First, you look at the reviews. You see there's no reviews. It was recently posted. That's a red flag.
If customers aren't reviewing the app or the reviews are all bad, stay away. More red flags, bad English, or links to other apps from competing retailers. Starbucks is considered to have the gold standard of apps, but many retailers don't have apps, which makes it all the more difficult to figure out what's real and what's not. Most of the fake apps are thought to come from scammers in China.
When there's a void, it's really easy for the hackers to write an app, and it's the first one that pops up when you search for that store that you think that you want to buy at.
How do you know if an app is real? Experts advise looking for lots of customer reviews, the more the better, and go to the retailer's website for the legitimate app link. Both Google and Apple say they are constantly flagging and removing suspicious apps, but with hundreds of fake apps appearing every week, it's a constant game of whack-a-mole. Tom Costello, NBC News, Bethesda, Maryland.
We are back in a moment with one of the biggest signs yet that the holiday season is almost upon us. He was once a rising star in the Republican Party, but now former Illinois Congressman Aaron Schock has been indicted on 24 criminal counts, including fraud and stealing taxpayer money. Schock came under scrutiny after reports revealed he spent tens of thousands to decorate his office in a style inspired by Downton Abbey, and questions were raised about his travel expenses. He resigned in March of last year. Who has the better memory, men or women? According to a new study, middle-aged women outperform middle-aged men on all measures of memory, but that edge begins to fade as women enter menopause, suggesting a link between lower estrogen levels and memory loss. Researchers hope this leads to a clearer picture of who is at a higher risk of Alzheimer's. And it's only the 10th of November, but it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, or it is around here anyway. The Rockefeller Center Christmas tree is on its way. A 94-foot tall, 14-ton Norway spruce from a family's yard in Oneonta, New York. It arrives here on Saturday, and it's 3 weeks until it's time to flip the light switch. When we come back, if these two can come together to make peace, will the rest of America follow? Finally, tonight, we thought we would end the broadcast where we began, with the extraordinary scene that unfolded today in the Oval Office. Two political foes putting aside their many differences, at least publicly, with the entire nation watching. Here's Harry Smith with the message that sent to a divided America.
There are moments in our history when we just have to sit back and let it sink in.
We now are going to want to do everything we can to help you succeed, because if you succeed, then the country succeeds.
Here are two men, political adversaries, near mortal enemies, talking about what matters most, the future of America.
The meeting lasted for almost an hour and a half.
And it could have, as far as I'm concerned, it could have gone on for a lot longer. We really, we discussed a lot of different situations, some wonderful and some difficulties.
We can only wonder what crossed their minds as the conversation deepened from the perfunctory to the truly important matters of state. What did each get wrong about the other? The campaign is over. The war of words is done. How we succeed together eclipses all that came before.
Mr. President, it was a great honor being with you, and I look forward to being with you many, many more times in the future.
Deep inside, it's what we all pray for. It is, after all, the American way. Harry Smith, NBC News, New York.
And that will do it for us on this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.